Selamat Paolo Benzola Cedo Dorje Javandala Naroda Amarmı da Babacı Gidi Parizm Cezava Lama'da Zacı Lama'ya da Cü Yonla Zorvan Dezo da Cü Çinci Sanci Gondan Yamla Ya Kardeş Sanci Gondan Nabın Çinci Yazava Lama Cacı Vada Zonrava Lama Cü La Nello Doba Cevara Cinci Angore mangore amaranze de karote kere tenzo vata olu yandan beş yüzyılda male mala panay. Kukare ya kakara ze razanı o amake paramaka amake yamadan. Savata bendan anandere to sava para pavandan ambe muda marapa yasa dan budu. Kuda amadara anakata to sava mare pujara da para yüzyılda ben kasir. Sava mara garmane. Rabba ya sadam budom budam budra anangata da sava mare pujara da pare kud bangazin da sava mara karma da da de diya da yame da yame yama vada yama da yada ankore mankore mara da de karo de kuyura ten zovat olayanan begudan male malapana ya kokare kakata satasana omuke paramuke Amage yamadana savata pedana nandreto sava para pavandana bimuda marapa yasadam budom buda mudra anungata do sava mare pujara da pare kudem pangazit sava mara karma ne Oda trendi tamal odrin odunde yanjar trendi zombare ne ti tola trin oduta trendi zombu gibi cinsin rode trin oduta çü çünkini ciyak trin bir kokap imbayildi trin çüden trin trin samlo
So today again we have this lucky opportunity again here together and to have the opportunity to receive Dharma teachings. So that's the purpose and the reason, and we should have a mindset and a motivation accordingly.
Then samba jaje wa chanju sem ji kulon se du ka then sem ga samba de ja chung chung ma yin ba then ja che wa ta ja che wa de ka se chanju sem de yo yin na then samba jaje wa samba de ja ja che wa de ko go yin then lu ga zu da ya samu ta yan de wa de la then chanju sem ji kulon ko to ne then ga zu chu yin che ba de ni he
So what is this attitude? What is this thinking we should have? It should be the context of the motivation of the altruistic mind, more specifically the enlightened mind or bodhicitta. So it's a vast scope of thinking. It's not like a small thinking or intention. It is this vast scope of thinking of the enlightened mind or bodhicitta. So this is the attitude within which both the teaching, the explaining, and the listening should happen.
That's why I'm going to say that I'm going to say that lojong se ga tan de yang de lojong ri lojong lojong rang ga lon de jong jang jup sem ji rang ga lon de jong se de ga la yang lojong se de ga jo loga ji so so yo yo ma ri ti ri jang jup sem ya ya ji ne de ge de rang ga sem de ba jong ya la de yang de lojong de yang lojong ri sa lojong se ya de za wa de tan de jang jup sem ge lojong ya de za wa de ri
So, and again today, we'll look at a subject of lochong, so that means literally training the mind, working or training the mind. So in lochong, we train exactly with our own mind. So that's the purpose. And the purpose is to train our own mind in the altruistic motivation or in the bodhicitta itself, to give rise to the altruistic mind or bodhicitta. So in that itself, we train the mind. So that's the root, actually, of the whole mind training. That's the root of bodhicitta as well.
That law Jones here, the that same the carousel party, clear and deva clear the carousel of the new Mumbagata, non talking deva te, the tune him by it, lay him by it, tune him by it, the internet is laying over the pa, Mevasia, Jayala, Pena, Tajavanaji, Chotamazuela, not Tajedua, Tajemnes, Chotamazona.
So, mind training, lochong, we work directly with our own mind, and the scope of intention is to purify this own mind, to purify it from disturbing emotion, the kleshas, as well as conceptual thinking, these faulty stains or overlaying of our mind. Very much as we purify water, we can purify water with kind of some salt solutions or with minerals, we can purify, refine water. So in the same way, we clear and refine our minds and purify it from the disturbing emotions and conceptual thinking. So we could take here the analogy, the metaphor with working with gold. So if we look at trying to get gold or silver. So in the first process, gold is mostly stained. But on the other hand, it's important to understand that gold in itself is completely pure in its essence. It's naturally pure. And yet still outwardly it is stained and has to be in many processes. It has to be purified. It has to be worked on. Gold has to be hit in all these processes, which we know has to be heated and so forth. So in the same way, our mind is temporary stained. It is temporary unclean and unpure. It is overlayered by these disturbing emotions, the kleshas, and the many levels of conceptual thinking, more subtle and more coarse ones. And as much as if gold is worked on, if it's heated and bent and purified in a process of getting gold, we have in the end the radiant purity of gold, which was always there. So in the same way, we work with the mind, with these temporary stains and pollution. and ultimately gain this clarity, this radiance of the mind. So this process of working with the mind in this metaphor or simile with gold, that's what is actually mind training or lokjong.
And Sanji Gesong do sik ki darbe sir yin do ligbata la ngai ka lawar che kusar me song do da sanji ki ne tin ya ve ki tin ngai ka sananda da ngai chu sananda kan da tel ni pe sik ki dan ni pe sir sir yang da ba da sir human da de tuan ba nang yin ki tin ngai xie ya ve ki 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 yo da kam da chu de ya de ni
And very much as the Bhagavan himself, the Buddha Shakyamuni said, this dharma of mine, my dharma, should be investigated, analyzed and tested. Very much like we work on gold, how we refine it, heat it, and then hit it and work on it like a goldsmith. So in this way, analyze and check my dharma. And if you have done that, then accept and practice it. So that's exactly the same thing what we do with our mind. We purify our mind, we refine our mind, and we refine it from non-virtuous activities. And we try to work on our mind and mainly to give rise to wholesome activities and virtuous actions in the form of karma in activities, as well as the karmic tendencies which we accumulate. And on that level, we practice in wholesome activity. So that's mind training. That's lojong.
Chu Dribaka Yanari, Chu Yamni Chibaka Yanari, Temayamba, Tuda Negap Tam, Yeda Drita, Chantil Simk, Tisimbaki Goas, Song Dera, or Tin, that Tinaka, Nenga Tela Tune, then others, so the semi design, send it in, somebody Jacha, Chantil Simbikon of Tisimbaki, to Judo Guadri Madoki.
Therefore, whenever Dharma is explained, like now, and when we listen to Dharma, when we practice and apply the Dharma, it is always important that we give rise to this altruistic motivation, particularly to the bodhicitta or the enlightened mind, that we uphold this enlightened mind. So since, as we've heard, the main factor is working and training with our mind, it is important to constantly give rise to this pure motivation of bodhicitta. So this motivation of the bodhicitta with this vast scope. And obviously right now when we listen to the Dharma in the beginning of the teaching, we gave rise to the altruistic mind and bodhicitta in a fashion. But in actuality, we should always be, our mind should always be really deeply moistened with this bodhicitta. Not in a sense that we think, oh, sometimes it's appropriate to give rise to bodhicitta and sometimes, oh, we don't need it so much or we are not aware about it. It should always be actually naturally there. Henceforth, it's important that we have aware mindfulness. We need an aware mindfulness to attend to this bodhicitta.
Ninja, ki suena ta ki ningi se yade ta chulo tunda mang chi de yori sing go ningi se yade ena ya ta de la chanjo sem sem du gala tene ningi de gala tene hirap de yo go re te na de la chanjo sem ningi de hirap bi de song de ba de la tene chanjo sem.
So if we look a little bit more clearly at bodhicitta or enlightened mind, we can first talk of compassion or ningje, great heart or compassion as we say it. So if we talk generally about compassion, obviously that's important in a Buddhist path, but not only in a Buddhist path. It's basically generally like whoever gives rise to a compassionate mind. So that's compassion in basically in all spiritual path or religions, that's important. But more specifically in the bodhicitta, we need as a foundation compassion, but based on that, we need prajna, we need wisdom. And if they come together, compassion and wisdom, then we talk of bodhicitta.
Hirap sungu sarva, or that ninja the hirap ni, that tomorrow my ember, hirap the other, tender than, or tumba tender the other, tomorrow my ember, nambe, tomorrow my ember, him but is.
So, henceforth, we need wisdom, sharap. And sharap, commonly known, it's as emptiness or shunyata, interrelated with dependent arising or tendril. So, based on that, depending arising, it appears, and then in essence, it's empty. So if this wisdom, prajna, comes together with compassion, so that's the uncommon Buddhist path. So if we first talk of compassion in which we give rise in our mind is directed towards all sentient beings, all these mother sentient beings who currently suffer, these limitless sentient beings, who the nature of their condition is suffering. So all the sentient beings are the object of our compassion. And then paired that together with sharap or prajna. So this is the uncommon Buddhist path. And in fact, a path which leads to Buddhahood. If we talk about the state of Buddhahood, what is actually meant in the sense of etymology in Tibetan, it's translated as sangye. Sang means to purify, to clear, which means all the darkness of non-recognition, marikpa, is cleared away or purified. And kye means to expound, to increase, which means all the appearances of primordial wisdom are expounding. So that's the etymology of the word Buddha, sangye, the darkness of ignorance, which is cleared away, and the appearances of primordial wisdom, which expands. So this together, the practice of this, actually, it's a bodhicitta.
Lord Tayeg song, yeah, lojong jiwa ti tina ti. Ta tila kare suna tangpo ngundu tila tini tamjo nye ka jiwa mataba kowe nye me le jumde siya ta ti tamjo ngundu ri. Ti yang lojong rwa ta lojong yada. Te ji, ti ngundu ji. Ta ngundu di lojong chane tini ngugi la tante song yari. Ngugi ka la Chuna malam tawar sam sehari. Mundo ta tamjo nyebar kawa ta tu chika jeba yoro ta tu tamjo nyebar kawa tso tu tu sam goro ta ngansu tanda pena ngansu de mulu top deva tada ki kandere ne towa yin ta ngansu ta hirwa pena ngansu ki slobjong che deva ta tani ki chui mambo nyi nyuwa ta ki deblo deva nrawa ta ta ngansu haku yori. Mado ke tende majewa tato ke ngānsu tātā lūpō tāp dewa dē, kāndē jī kāni shūngwa, tā kāwān rōwa dē, hā kūyō mārā. Tē tā ngānsu, tē nā tāmjō nyebār kāwa tsō trī tū xie nē, tē tāmbō tāmjō dē, kāni shūng dō, rōwa, jō kāndē jī tī nē, tī ndēvā dē shūng dō. Mōyā, tā ndē shūng nē, lūdī dē tōm nē, tā ndē lē pēchū rāwa kārā dō. Rōwa, Tien zangbo yinba, tamjio ka tien zangbo yinba, mulu de, tati su mangbo samu tayang duwa, o teri, teche. Tien tangla, tiyang tina tabwa tenba meba, mada de, xe wangan doya. O ta te, xe ne jang, tini, ki tiga zi me xe sungwa da, chok kam sungwa da ma yinbi, tini kwa, le jumde ke to ne jang, nrewa mengu ya jikda. Tini kamsung kowa kanda jie jang, Then go don't have an agent, but the meva, that is some of the time to what?
So now if we look a little bit more specifically into mind training, and Rinpoche has a text in front of him, it's actually a mind training in 7 points from the great Jamgyu Kondro Lodo Taye, so the first Jamgyu Kondro Lodo Taye, and Rinpoche will summarize a few points of this mind training, this commentary by Jamgyu Kondro Lodo Taye. So it's actually, we have 7 points, it says the first is the preliminaries to the mind training. The preliminaries to the mind training, as we've already heard, are the four thoughts which turn the mind towards the Dharma. these four thoughts, which we're going to hear in a second. And then the main part is actually the training the mind in bodhicitta. In the main part, which you will quote again afterwards, it says actually... It says, consider all things and events as dreamlike. So that's the main section of the main part starts with that. But if we go back again, actually, to the preliminary practice, the preliminary practice has to do first with obtaining this precious human rebirth. So that's the first point, the freedoms and endowments of this precious rebirth. In fact, if we actually really look how we actually get this body, what are all the circumstances, the fine interworking of cause and effect, how we catch this precious human body and where our body leads, that's very hard to understand. But on the other hand, we are now endowed with this precious space, this precious result of this precious human body. And now it's time to really make an appropriate use, to use this proper precious opportunity. Henceforth, it's called this precious human birth. It's the precious or good working base. But then just obtaining this precious human rebirth, as we all know, it's not enough in itself. Since, and now the second point applies of the mind training, of the four thoughts which turn the mind. It's all composite phenomena are impermanent. So henceforth, this body is impermanent too. And so it's important to make use of it right now. And then the third consideration is when the impermanence actually strikes. In other words, when we will die one day, things will not just dry up in a sense of like water, which is dried out. In fact, there's a law, what is called cause and effect, or in other words, karma. So that's the third thought which turns to mind towards the Dharma, that it's important what we do now with this working base, this precious human body, right, the current moment. And then henceforth, the fourth point is that the downfalls of suffering, in other words, that all in samsara is full of suffering. So it's important also generally, but also here in this mind training and based on this teaching of Jamgyo Kondro Lorotaye, that in the section of the preliminaries, we truly apply these four thoughts which turn the mind towards the Dharma. We really make it a working base. We practically apply it. Loso Rimche.
Yes. Oh, that thing is that I hear the Tabyonyega and Kivamada and Kovanyim and Legend said they had so. Karasena, some of the hero, that's what some of the time. Penita. Karsuida. Legend is here. That's what gets him, bro. That's what he chitia. Legend really chitia, you know. The name was a get up on Yanta by Yungurva. The legend is Chimina, that and they did the day early, Sandra Mother with that, and then I can't hit the day early, Sandra. That the lady Gansandra, bro. Then they did song your is, then they did love your is, tune on a song your is, handy song your is, song your is, Yaki Gun and Roddy, bro. But it did some degree of my money, that song your is, Tara is, Yichichi, I go. Dungeon Yabra Gawa and I, oh, that sounds the song your is, Yajiro. Madabri song your is, Legendary song your is, Covenim song your is, Yati, song your is, Yati, Gun, Yagan, Dio, my. Song you ever day, Council, but day, money, he, coy imbarity. Sandy song Yavad, my imbarity in song your mother. Imba the song, imba the imba not on Motun Nagre, the imba the imba Nishin Rumba here is he called. The Ketcha Yori.
So if we look again at these four points, the four thoughts which turn the mind towards the Dharma, this precious human rebirth, impermanence, the law of cause and effect, and the downfalls of samsara, it's truly important that we apply it in our practice. We have to really integrate it and contemplate about this. For example, if we look at the most important thing about the law of cause and effect, that we truly implement it and contemplate about it, that we gain trust and confidence. And based on this trust and confidence, then we also apply it and go into action in the sense of that we give up non-virtuous deeds or harmful deeds and accumulate wholesome positive activities. In the sense that we get trust and confidence and certainty, not just, yeah, maybe it is like this or it could be like this, and then we kind of get lost in the interim of the path. That we really take it to heart, the law of cause and effect as an example, and gain trust and confidence, and also to recognize it's taught by the Bhagavan himself, by the Buddha himself, all this, that the precious human rebirth, the law of impermanence, death and impermanence, the law of cause and effect, and the degeneration and suffering of samsara. But also not just that we think, yeah, the Buddha taught it, henceforth I accept it. No, I mean, the first step is obviously that we recognize it, that the Buddha taught it. But then secondly, to really analyze it and contemplate, to come to the point, it is really like this. The Buddha didn't teach something which is not in accordance with the way things are, because he taught exactly in the nature, in according with the way things are, in the true mode of abiding. So that we come to this trust, confidence, and apply it in our practice, and then gain certainty in our own mind stream. So that's truly key important.
Samaji Kalaji in a Yanko, so to Robotovayana. Then Samatin, your Himbo, your Ki, your Nios Kalaga, your Limon, but you there and the Pendo Yama, so to Karina Kosayana,
So, henceforth, it's not enough to just recognize what the Buddha taught, to just think, oh, he taught this, and to just intellectually, so to say, recognize it and, affirm it. Well, that's the Buddha's teaching. No, we actually truly need to apply it. We need to contemplate it and apply it in our own mind stream. So that's really important. It's very much like in a worldly metaphor, like if we talk about food, if we are hungry, it's not enough to simply just say, oh, this food is so delicious. It looks so great. It's prepared and has all these qualities. If we're hungry, we want to eat it. You have to really incorporate it. You have to embody it. And the same is with the teachings of the Buddha. Not simply recognize them as precious or as Buddha's teaching, to truly contemplate and apply them in your own practice.
So, oh, that is good. Tandapena lodo number yes ya din hani pena tamjo ni ba ka ki bu je te tu ti te da tu ti te da sam te gomba la ya te ha tu sam ko sa chang go ri ta te ma yen be ki kan do ju ma bo ji ta ji yo ba da ki ke ba yin han ke ba pe da to ta go tu ya te sam de gom se ya ji yo ba o te ma yen ba ta ku ti re gi tu ne ba tu sam gom se ya de Say,
So we don't have to go now too much more into details of the four thoughts which turn the Dharma. We've studied that, we've heard that. But then in fact, as we said, it's not enough to simply hear it and to kind of just acknowledge it. Yeah, these are the four thoughts which turn the mind. We have to train through these three levels, which we already know. The first level is to listen to the Dharma. And then we really, this which we have heard and understood, we have to apply it in our practice for the second step. That's contemplation, true and actual contemplation. And the understanding which we gain out of the contemplation, we have to apply it then in non-referential meditation. So, and we have to do this gradually from a small scope to become bigger and to a bigger, bigger scope. We have to first listen to the Dharma and then contemplate it and then apply it in actual meditation. So that applies to all the Dharma, to all the scriptures, all what the panditas, the great scholars have taught. We have to bring it all through the levels of hearing, contemplating and meditating. In fact, like each word or each small sentence, we have to understand, to hear it, grasp the meaning of the word, contemplate about it, and then really bring it into a meditation. And it's good to start in a small scope. Obviously, the Dharma, the body of Dharma is so vast. It's so incredible big, like we have whole volumes, we have bejas and stuff. That's possible too, that we can grasp a whole meaning, let's say, of a whole volume or a big text. But what really counts for us is what we can apply in our own mind. What you can really down to a practical level in your own mind. Be just a few words, a few sentences, a few statements, to really listen to it, to understand what is meant, to bring it in a level of contemplation, and then really integrate it in meditation. So for this, we go through a small scope to a bigger and bigger. So, but the most important is to really apply it and to embody it. Loso.
Pena pena kan do ju ten ju mambo ji ta po de mambo ji ji lo da mambo ji lo da lo lo de lo jo se yan lo lo jo ma lo jo se yan lo da lo ni lo jo se lo ni zang lo jo se za de mambo ro ka ji ne ma se de lo jo ji mambo ji chu ri se yan lo da yo ro pe pe chu ba ja chen bo ri da kong pe de de se ya de de yo ro da ji ji ne mambo yo ro yin na ya chu ba zam ji de ma do ge Samba meva, Gomba meva, Yunguyo. Yang Gayene, Tuba the Samba Yueva, Yang Gomba meva, Yunguyo. Takaye, Gaye, Tuba Samba Gomba, Chatama Yungu, Yonsi Yua. Gando Jim Mamboji Yua Tama, Tundade, Soso, Soso Gondo Gona, Takabura. Then what Jatamba on a tea, what the Jad Gums and Kabura, that Tuba Samba Jim Gum, it turned out the Gums and the Kabura. And I did turn out to Dodo's of Tobra. What the judge, how the Nibia Tobin at the Nagate, turned out Karigan Lame to the Tee, he turned out to Semshigora. He turned out Semshine, Nenga, Karigan Lame to the Nagate Hine. And it is a Gomian little Susan Yanito, Cliptova, take all Madoke, then a judge and a cheap old Sadrino. Judge him, but two judges were some to the color, then a guy and me, so the guy and love was so lame, me, what you. Then
So if we look at this in the context of the whole teaching which the Buddha gave, let's say the actual words of the Buddha and all the sutras which go back to the Buddha, we can, it's so vast, all the teaching of the Buddha, we can study, and it's basically limitless. It kind of never ends. Some study for years and years and in deep levels of study, some study 25 years the Dharma profoundly, become very scholarly, very knowledgeable. Some study even the whole life, yes. And we see this around the world, also in other matters. There's so much studying going on, and that's all right in itself. But then we can look at it at three levels. There's some people who are so knowledgeable, who study so much, the Dharma now particularly, but they never really apply it in deep contemplation. So that's like faulty, right? So they leave it at the first level. And then some others actually, they study the Dharma, have a deep level of understanding and knowledge. And they, even on top of listening the Dharma, studying and listening, they actually apply it in contemplation. So they have both then, listening and contemplation, but they don't really apply what they understood out of contemplation in meditation, in the context of non-referentialness. And then there's a few individuals which bring it through all three levels, to really listen to the Dharma, to understand, to clarify away doubts and misunderstandings, contemplate his meaning, and then actually integrate it in meditation. There's people who do this, but it's not so easy to integrate it on all levels. If we look, for example, the vast scope of teaching of the Buddha, let's say there's like 100 volume or 200 volumes of teachings. So there's so much, it's almost incomprehensible for us. But we have to adhere to the true meaning, to the essence, we have to apply it in our own mind stream, in our own continuum of our own mind, and bring of all these many teachings, these 100 volumes, for example, these 200 volumes of the Buddha, to bring the quintessence together and then to essentialize in our own mind. So in this sense, we can also get a grasp, so to say, of the vast scope of this limitless teaching, almost to say, of the Buddha himself. And if we look at it individually on how it is applied, we can say, just to really go deeply with just a few words or a few sentences. Let's say, for example, these four thoughts again, which turn the mind towards the Dharma, the precious human body, impermanence, law of cause and effect, and the suffering of samsara. There's some individuals which actually haven't really studied all the shastras, the sutras and the commentaries, the shastras of the Buddha, but they only apply these four thoughts, just truly these four thoughts, to really listen to them, understand, clarify this, clear away doubts, and really contemplate deeply upon the meaning of these four thoughts, and then ultimately meditate truly. And they can really give rise to the result. Results can really come forth, even though they haven't studied so much. Just taking these four thoughts truly to heart and bring it for all the levels of mind training. That's actually mind training. And the result which could come out of this is, for example, deep renunciation. Renunciation could be really something you can gain a result of this. So out of a few words, so to say, out of expounding the Dharma only in a few words, let's say the four thoughts, to bring it for all the levels, we can give rise to some results. So? Tadi sem ki sang kar dreva techik na rong rimajela
sang dise nga yang de sem ki ne ga da wa ro wa sang ga da wa ne ga da wa de ma hi wa yin na ne deva to ban du dong ha yong ban du ja de zo dun da me ba kon cham de ge ri si dun da ne ji du ya yo ma si sem ki ne ga de chi go ri si sem ki ne ga de ma hi na ne ko deva to ban du dong ha pa pang wan du dong ha ta ban du na ya
So likewise said also the great Chantideva in the Bodhicayavatara, he said, not knowing the secret or the key point of the mind, just to go after a temporary pleasure or to try to avoid suffering, this will not really do it. You have to capture the essence, the secret of the mind. If you do understand this, the essence and the secret of the mind, then you will be able to truly lead towards lasting happiness and to give up really the suffering and its causes. So henceforth, it's important to know the essence of the mind, to really understand this. This is famous statement of the Buddha, four liner, where the last two lines says, completely tame this mind of yours. This is my Dharma, the Buddha Dharma. So that these are the words of the precept, the vow, so to say, is to tame our own mind. Sem dul means really to tame, to make it workable and tame one's own mind. So that's the essence. with the understanding to tame one's mind to actually understand the quintessence or the essence of the mind. We could say if we only listen and understand a few words of the Dharma, but truly tame our mind and understand the essence, that will do. On the other hand, if we know 100 words or maybe many volumes, and if we don't understand the secret of the mind, the essence of the mind, then it will be lost. It will not do. So there's so many teachings of the Buddha, Buddha's own words, his sutras and shastras, commentaries. Even if you would know them all, but not knowing the essence or the secret of your own mind, this would not do.
我的当爹爹当得了的呢当我记得他呢当不到生他精神的刚的我那他当不过生的他就这个他就问吧我就过他生问吧过生问生他就生的就他就忙不那么多忙不几个 参加的没完了吧，那么多个生家的没完了，我记过了吧。我爹他那，他说的嘛，六张波的，他那屋的张波，妈当呀，吃了妈罗亚当，他那男的呀，用呀，当着王叔让罗娃的王娃的，妈爹的，这六六的，六波的六六的爹的是吧？他那生的，可是屋的。 露露姐，你去再去再当时，他真的结巴呢，真的绿的嘛，绿绿的呢，真的乌的绿绿姐，你再去上那个，真的生的，生的呀，他绿绿的就过来了，生的把尾巴那个就绿绿起来了，我他真的结果，真的结巴呢，他生的应该，绿绿的嘛就，生的个绿绿的就是。
So in this mind training, Rinpoche is quintessentializing here the meaning. When it comes to the main part, actually, of the text, it says we have to bring the mind in solitude kind of in a retreat situation. What does it mean to bring the mind in solitude? It means to come in a situation where the mind is not stirred up by all this conceptual thinking or namtoks. So in order to do this, first we have to work with our body and speech. So leave the body upright, sitting upright and erect. And then the breath, let it naturally flow out, the breath, the exhalation and a natural inhalation in a relaxed, alert, yet mindful way. So if we do this sitting upright and leave the breath relaxed, mindful and alert to exhale and to calmly inhale, we do this 21 times. For this, our body and our breath and also our speech naturally relax. And if they're naturally relaxed at the same time, alert and mindful, then our mind is naturally relaxed too. So that's the circumstance which our mind comes into solitude, so to say. Solitude being free of discursive or dualistic thinking. And if our mind is relaxed, open, and free of dualistic thinking, this is then a good working base for a dhyana, for deep meditative absorption.
So
first we have to calm down our mind, we have to calm down our body. If we are physically too active, if we are very busy, a lot of commotion, and so the body is stirred up. And if the body is stirred up or too active, too busy, then also the mind will be stirred up with too many thinking, too much thinking, too much discursive thinking. So henceforth, as just said before, keep your body straight and then work with your breath in a sense of a relaxed yet mindful, gentle exhalation and inhalation. Do this 21 times. This will naturally bring your body and mind in a mindful, alert, relaxed state where the mind is not so stirred up with too much thinking. And through this, we can relax our body and mind. So, Also, even if the body is kind of in an okay, relaxed mode, but if the mind is stirred up by discursive thinking or dualistic thinking, or also the disturbing emotions, like if we are upset and angry or whatever goes on in our mind, if we meet any difficult situation, it's good to bring the mind home, to let the breath naturally, mindfully flow in and out. And this is a good method to relax body, speech, and mind. So then in the main part of the text, it says, and let's say after we've really done this preparation, work with our body, with our breath, that we're in a relaxed, mindful state. Then it says in the first line, in the main part, it says, consider all things and events as dreamlike. So very much like when we go to sleep in the nighttime, when we have a dream, this quality of dream, bring it in relationship to all events and to all things, and consider and contemplate them as being dreamlike. So in the statement, consider all things as events and dreamlike. I don't have to really explain what it means by dream. You know that all. I don't have to clarify that. We fall asleep and then we have all these experiences in a dream. They are pleasant and unpleasant. Sometimes we're really stirred up. We argue. We even can get in a fight. And sometimes we make very beautiful, smooth and nice experiences with friends, beloved ones. So basically all kind of experiences which we experience also in daytime experiences, they can in a combined way occur in the night. But obviously we know if we wake up, the dream is gone. And sometimes that's also good. If we have a dream which is stirred up, where we argue maybe and even fight, and we are happy to wake up and to recognize, oh, it was just a dream. But then there's other dreams where we make very pleasant and beautiful experiences, and it's so beautiful and nice. And then suddenly we wake up and we also recognize, oh, it's just a dream, but kind of with a different feeling. It was so pleasant and nice in the dream. So it's the really work with the emergences and the emotions which come up. Let's say if in a dream we would get a big nugget of gold, actually like a huge stone, which Rinpoche shows there's so much joy, and then when you wake up and do notice it's just a dream, then you go like, what a bummer, or akaka, as the Tibetans say, it was just a dream. So when it says, consider all things and events as dreamlike, like a dream, so that's the metaphor, the simile which is given here. What's the meaning of it? A dream has no essence. It has no true established inherent nature. So this we apply now to all the appearances and experiences in daytime. So it means like all the appearances in daytime, they're also dreamlike in a sense that they have no true valid essence.
Control so now I did not do to under a kakai, tiny boy, your mari. Say I did not take over. Control nine degrees.
So, very much in a dream, it's free of any essence. You cannot obtain anything truly in a dream, whether it's a whole positive or negative. It is free of a truly established inherent essence. So the same is true with all appearances and experiences, also our daytime experiences. They are called trulnang, means confused experiences, which lack any true established essence. So nothing but confused appearances.
Control suma nawa de ngopo yu demba yu san pan zimba che de barwa zimba control suma barwa barwa zimba control suma de zimba control suma de tu nam che la zimba de ta tar sana tene ko ni seva na yi ta te de de ha ko pe te ga mala ta ri se ya tene ji ko ko sa ba.
So when it says it's dreamlike, all appearances, like in a true dream, actually in the night, we make, as we just heard, pleasant and unpleasant experiences. The same is true in our daily life. In our daily life, we make a multitude of pleasant and unpleasant experiences, but all these appearances and experiences are nothing else than confused appearances. And the problem is that we actually grasp and attach to them. We attach to all these experiences and all what appears as something which is inherent and truly established. So this grasping and craving and attachment, that's the problem. But once through the view, if we really get rid of the grasping, it's very much like waking up from a dream to truly comprehend the true nature of the dreamlike nature of all these appearances, of confused appearances.
Malam tawa sam sudi kala ta yo eri yana yo mare besena ta yo na yo sudan riori gari yore se na ta yu zang yu se pa ta yawa zang ta te yore se so se pa lo ta yawa jirwa lo dro ta yawa ta te yore ma to don to koran na kai nipo mewa marawa hi re se ta yu zang yore se ya te kukurwa
So if we say that all dharmas, all things and events are dreamlike, what does it mean? Can we actually establish something here in the sense of something truly, something really exists in a dream? Yes, we can establish something, but the only thing we can establish is that appearances in dream and also in daytime, they are nothing but imputed. It's nothing but an imputation. So we can say this, and it's so to say overlayered by our mind. It's imputed by our mind. This we can say. But in actuality, in true meaning, it is free of any essence. It is free of true essence or nature. So, but in a worldly sense, in a common worldly sense, it's hard to trust that which was just pointed out. To really trust and come to conviction, oh, it's all essenceless. It's not truly established. We think, well, but I see all these forms, all these appearances. I can see all these sounds and the kinesthetic experiences, positive and negative, all these experiences and appearances which we have. And they're there. And to really understand that things are not truly established, they are free of essence, that they're pure, confused appearances, that is difficult to understand in a worldly context, exactly because we grasp at things as something which is truly or inherent existence. We can say, yes, things are existing. It's a Tibetan syntax, you put it, they are existing. In what manner are all these appearances existing? Again, they are nothing but mere imputations by your mind. In this way, we can make an affirming statement. Yes, things exist as mere conceptual mental imputation. But if we look at their essence, their non-existing, which means a true essence or inherent existence is non-existing. Henceforth, all appearances, all dharmas are dreamlike. So we have also the statement, all phenomena are empty. Like all phenomena empty or shunyata. Here it says, consider all things and events as dreamlike. So more or less, it's just the same thing in other words. When we say all phenomena are empty or shunyata, that's like a statement which is made in an affirming sense. In fact, in a true meaning, we have to say all phenomena are empty. It's the interplay of being empty and dependent arising. So it is empty, at the same time, it is depending, arising. Or in other words, we could say there is no dharmas which are not depending, arising. And we can say there is no depending, arising means appearing dharmas which are not shunyata or empty. That's in fact Nagarjuna said this. It says because things are empty, things can appear. And the fact that they appear means or proves also that they lack any true or inherent existence. That's a shunyata. So that's a true understanding. And here it says that's the understanding also that things are just a dreamlike. Yes, because they are in essence, lack any essence, all dharmas, or free of inherent existence, they have, so to say, the capability to appear as dependent arising, as all these appearances, and which are nothing, as we just heard, as designations or mental imputations. They appear, but they lack any true essence. Henceforth, they are shunyata. They are only conceptual imputations. So this is this meaning. We should consider this when it says in the root text of this text of the commentary of Chamgyi Kondro Lodachai says, consider all things and events as dreamlike. That's this understanding which was just pointed out. And we could also say all the dharmas are empty.
What did you?
What's up?
Tang nubu guji no chute tamji tunani barba, same contrary is raw. Daddy. I know same Koran college is raw. No, the same draws on now, you know, same Koran country is enough.
So we came to the point that all these entities, all these things, in other words, or whatever appears, is nothing else than confused appearances, designated or imputed by mind. So in other words, we could also say all appearances are in some ways just mind's designation or imputations of mind, or even like mind. So we established that. So, but now so we established that in a sense that we understand that all these appearances, things, entities, however you want to call them, are nothing than confused appearances, and they lack in essence any true establishment. So that's one thing. But now let's look at the mind. So we might think that, well, but then maybe on a subjective side, mind is there, mind exists. And then the text continues here. That's in the root verse, actually. It says, examine the nature of unborn awareness. So that's the next level. This unborn or uncreated intrinsic awareness. Examine the nature of this. So when it says here, examine the nature of unborn intrinsic awareness, so we look at the essence of the mind. We analyze or examine the essence of the mind. And how are we doing this? Mind is examining or analyzing itself. We're not doing this with our eyes. So mind is looking in itself. Mind is analyzing or trying to comprehend itself. And if we do this very clearly, we come to an understanding that mind is beyond some qualities which outer entities have. It's beyond quality of shape and form and color and so forth. It's beyond that. So we recognize there's no true establishment where mind arises from. So there's no coming, so to say, or literally it's called no giving birth to mind. So it's beyond coming or being born. And then secondly, we look, well, where is then this mind in our body? And probably you studied all this analysis, where then the mind is in the body from top to toe. And we find, well, we cannot really pinpoint where the mind is in our body. So we recognize, well, there's no true abiding. And you can see in pithy practical instruction, there's no abiding of our mind. So if there's no arising, giving birth to mind and no abiding, we also clearly recognize there's no stopping, no ceasing of the mind, no place actually where this unborn mind would ever go. So to directly hit to the point that a mind is free of arising, of abiding, and of ceasing, we bring it home to the mind and look in the essence of the mind and find the mind beyond something which can be found. And then come to a clear determination, to a clear conviction about this nature.
Nimbe namdo deyan kora rangsa dhaba, rangsa chonro is.
So we then come to the conclusion that all in our body, as well as our mind, everything is empty, empty of an essence. It is beyond essence. But then based on that, the mind can be stirred again. And we think, oh, it's beyond, it's just shunyata, it's beyond any benefit, beyond any harm. So subtle discursive thinking can arise again upon or based on this understanding of emptiness. So again, this discursive thinking has to be liberated in its own place as well. So the next statement in the root verse, it says, let even the antidote be freed in its own place. So even the antidote, what arises based upon its view of shunyata, of body and mind, for example, let it liberate in its own place. So that the antidote, even that with what we look in our mind or work with our mind, is in itself also not truly established. So it is as beyond being truly established, there's an arising of like discursive thinking as an antidote, and let this relax itself and liberate itself in its own place. So there's a profound statement, truly relaxed in its relaxed manner, let it liberate on its spot. So this consists what is called between the two distinctions of meditation. That's like a analytical approach or the base of analytical approach of understanding. Chekom, it's called in Tibetan.
That's the yola kaso mo kuki ngana yas. Mo kuki ngana yas yate ta kosen gunjo so de ngutengo. Tendu.
Mm-hmm. Next statement, it says, rest in the alaya, the all base or the essence. So we look at our mind and consciousness, the seven levels of consciousness, actually eight is the alaya, but we're talking about the seven level of consciousness, and we have all this commotion and appearances in our mind, discursive thinking, which outwardly proliferates, and then a drawing back of all this mental thinking. Let it all rest. If we find the root and hit to the root of all these appearances, which correlate to the seven levels of consciousness, we bring it home to its essence, where it says, like all dharmas are in essence nothing else than the deep significance of the alaya, the all ground. And with alaya in this context here is actually meant the Buddha nature or Tathagata Garbha here, the Tathagata Garbha, which we could say has three categories. It is beyond any elaboration in a sense that it's completely free of reference point and of conceptual imputation. So it's free of any elaboration. At the same time, it's unhindered clarity and it is non-conceptual. So this is the quality of what is meant here with alaya or the Tathagata Garbha. So all appearances, they appear at the same time, they are not truly established. It is not truly established. And if we are free of grasping at all these appearances, we let things simply rest in their own place. Rangbab Sushap means let it settle or rest in its own place.
Tā gōm gōm dō sēyān rāo, tā tēne jī māngbō yōnggō rā, tā tēnsō kāyē mēwē, tēne kōrāṋ, sēn kōrāṋ ngāng lā, rāṋ bō, sētā rāṋ hīng tī pā bē, sēn jē jū mē tēn rāṋ bī yās.
Tā
tē sēyān dō nā, tē rāyā kā dō nā, nām dō gu jī sēm rāṋ rā, tēne sēn mī sā lā, nām dō mē bē ngāng dō, tā sēn bē kā sē, nē gō nā, tē tsaṋ tē nyā bā yās, tē rā jō gōm sī.
So this is an important point, Rangbab Sukshyapa. So it means like let it settle in its own place, or you could also say drop in its own place. What this means, another terminology of Mahamudra Dzogchen is Machepa, let it be all unfabricated. Unfabricated means don't overlay it with any conceptual thinking, not even with a positive or wholesome thinking. Or if something is distracting you as a conceptual thing, you think, oh, I need to get rid of it. For example, you think, oh, now I'm meditating, and suddenly you notice you're distracted, and then you want to apply an antidote. That's exactly what we don't want to do. We want to liberate the antidote that you think, oh, now I need to come back in a mindful way again to meditation. No, here it really means let the mind, in an unfabricated way, let it drop in itself. Beyond any reference point of what is good or bad, beyond any imputation of conceptual thinking. So this nature of mind clearly appearing, yet beyond any overlaying of conceptual thinking in an unfabricated way, simply drop and rest there. And this is what is called the settling or dropping meditation. So we have two levels. Before we talked about analytical meditation, and this is called setting or settling meditation. Lo so.
Pena sim sim kora ra gyana de te ka sa ki sim ra sim ma ju na ka sa ki se ya ki pe ju pe de chu ra gyana chu de ko ma ma yo che chu ko ya ya de chu ko ni de ma ta ma de ni de she lo wa chu ta ni she lo se ma ra wa ta do ra wa ka na ko Yo my god, I got any shadow, and again, I got a pit and I came back. Same corner out the yana, then got a same salam, madoba tea, not a net toy. But they do, there's a same day, number majority, same majority.
So when we talk, let the mind drop or settle in itself, keep the mind unfabricated. This is a profound meditative instruction. If we take the metaphor of water, or like a small pond, if you don't stir the water, then all the sediment, in other words, all the impurities, they naturally settle as sediment from the ground. And the pure luster clarity is separated from the sediment. In the same way, if you leave your mind unfabricated in the recognition of its essence and drop simply there, it appears as a clarity. At the same time, it's non-conceptual. So be and drop there in non-fabricated state. That's all.
Oh, that didn't mean that didn't mean the patient and that didn't mean what you did. The Kundal Chancho saying that I'm doing also only in Seattle. They're telling you because Dagi Nyamba, Dagi Jeva, Seattle, that didn't mean what you were.
So if you look, Grim just gives an overview of this text. This is directly here from this commentary of Kongtrum Rinpoche, directly first pointing out the absolute bodhicitta, which Rinpoche just did. And then there's many levels of mind training, the mind training for relative bodhicitta. There's the practices where you work with yourself and others, the deep contemplation of the seeing the equanimity of yourself and others, that we are same like others. The next level would be exchanging yourself with others, deep levels of mind training with Tonglen, giving and taking.
Mm-hmm. Kid is around Lingua. Then did Tony and Tom that did Kid the mullet did. John the soul lay out at Tony Silva.
So, Tonglen, that's this profound practice, giving and taking, that's really literally meaning. The essence of Tonglen is that you give all the positivity, all your gains and virtue you give to others. And all the loss and difficulty you take on yourself. In the worldly sense, we quite often do the opposite. We try to give all the loss and difficult situation to others and try to take the good one. So Tonglen is the opposite, obviously, right? So that's the mind training, right? So there's lots in his text, by the way, in quote, in brackets, it's translated, right? It's called the Sevenfold Mind Training. And this is a famous commentary by Chamgyu Kontrol. And there's many stages of how you do the relative bodhicitta, exchanging yourself with others, Tonglen, giving and taking, how you work with negative circumstances, transforming adversities, and so forth.
Dance it, then check out the dance is a dratan, check out the system. That dance is what you do. Chondan kyeda jagay yin la jing, chondan poka rangalin siyaga kadamba son oda teri.
So if we look at Tonglen, giving and taking, in essence, we're working here directly with attachment, with grasping and attachment. And the goal of this, it's the most direct way to work with it. And the goal of this is to really, of practice of Tonglen, is to diminish, to slow down first, and to decrease the effect, the tight grip of grasping to a self. So that's what we do in the practice of Tonglen. And that's why this famous statement in Tonglen from the great Kadampa masters, where it says, may all the loss and difficulties ripen on me, I take it, and may all the gain and the good qualities I give to others. So it's we need to actually really apply it. That's what is called Lochong. Practice this Tonglen, to practice, apply it. It is very much, if we look in the context of the Prajnaparamita, the first is the generosity. We need to give with the right attitude, also with the view of that things are not truly established. And with this, we give, even if it's worldly things, just worldly matter, if we give to somebody else, if we give with the right attitude and with the right view, then it qualifies as a perfection of generosity. So, and we have, you might notice, this stages of mind training, which were named before, like practicing and meditating upon the equanimity of yourself and others, and then exchanging yourself and others. If we look at the equanimity, first you have to put the focus of others. Basically, it's yourself and then others. Like in a worldly context, we are just, most frankly speaking, mostly just centering around ourselves. So the concept and perception notion is about me. So it's first you have to really put your focus on others, let alone to really come to the insight that we're all same. In brackets, we're looking for happiness and avoiding suffering. So we have to really wind our mind in it and practice it and apply it. And if we come to this recognition that we are all the same, the equanimity of ourselves and others, then the next level would be exchanging myself with others. So Rimchi would conclude the teaching like this for today.